You know, we've been talking on honor. And really, what we're doing right now is honoring God. There's really no honor. I've been listening to somebody teach on this, and he says, you know what? Honor isn't sending somebody a card on their birthday. Honor is attaching some value to that. Anytime there's really honor, there's going to be value associated with it. And really, this is what's happening with us here now. It's nice to just come and experience God's presence. But there's something else happens when we get involved in giving. Amen. And I'm excited about what's taken place already. Sometimes, you know, you need to talk about things to experience them. There's so much in the Word of God that we are still discovering. And it's funny, every time I see some of these things, it's like, wow, where has this been? And, you know, I'm sure we've spoken on honor before, but, man, we're hitting it in different ways and we're hitting some things. And what I see is really wonderful about this is it's bringing value to everybody that's a part of this body already. I don't know about you, but it's like it helps me to envision people in a more honorable way. And in my prayers for y'all, I love praying for you and seeing you prospering in your finances, but seeing you prospering in your souls. Amen? And it creates this atmosphere that is an enablement of God's movement. And so I'm grateful for the opportunity that we have to just focus on this for a few weeks. And I felt bad a little bit about bemoaning the Titanic so much last week. Anybody get mad at me for that? I don't know. So I don't know if my phone heard me talking about that or not, but I got one of these, they call them memes or something. I don't know. I thought it was really, it was timely because it said, gave some examples of some people that actually chose honorably at that time. Let me just read these. It says, when the Titanic sank, it carried millionaire John Jacob Astor IV. He's the fourth. The money in his bank account was enough to build 30 Titanics. However, faced with mortal danger, he chose what he deemed morally right and gave up his spot in a lifeboat to save two frightened children. Isn't that precious? Man, that's such an example of what we were talking about last week. Yeah. That what he did in that caused him to be way more valuable than all his finances. Because he gave up his life for these two children. Isn't that precious? Yeah. Aren't you glad I'm sharing this? Yeah. This is good, isn't it? Millionaire Isidore Strauss. All right, I probably didn't say that right. Did I say that right, Tammy? I got all that Cajun stuff wrong last week. Millionaire Isidore Strauss, co-owner of the largest American chain of department stores, Macy's, who was also on the Titanic, said, I will never enter a lifeboat before other men. His wife, Ida Strauss, also refused to board the lifeboat, giving her spot to her newly appointed maid, Ellen Bird. She decided to spend her last moments of life with her husband. These wealthy individuals preferred to part with their wealth and even their lives rather than compromise their moral principles. Their choice in favor of moral values highlighted the brilliance of human civilization and human nature. I would like to say godly nature. Amen? Because that isn't just something that human nature is being proven to be falling before our eyes. But I believe that this was a godly thing that was put inside of them that I believe was part of their financial success in the first place. It was something that came from God. Amen. This valuing, what they did is they valued, isn't that amazing? A newly hired maid. Man, that just puts things in perspective. That's so much worth more than all that stuff that lady had. Isn't that cool? And that's how God sees us. And that's how he wants us to begin to elevate our eyes too. Amen? Amen. So I want to talk about being vessels of honor today. Can we do that? Yep. Are you excited? Yes. Yes, man, we are just so excited. So, you know, I wrote about this a little bit today because We don't really say vessels too much. So I Googled vessels, and I got a whole bunch of ships. You know, it's like, I needed to get some pictures, you know. So I had to put vessels of honor, and, you know, and then they give all these religious things, you know, whatnot. But anyway, it's referring to vessels, things that are going to carry things that will bear content within a dwelling, right? And I'm going to get to this in a little bit, but first of all, I just want to talk first of all about how God rewards in the same way that we were talking about an offering. God actually honors us. He has things that he wants to honor us with. And we're going to look at this. What would be the greatest thing that we could be honored with? And it's going to include finances. It's going to include other things. But I see it after our last week's pontification. It's going to allow us to be lifted up in effective influence of lives. Can you see that? Man, that's something that I say, God, the biggest thing I want, I'd like to be blessed financially. But God, before I get too old, before I can't move anymore or something, you know, I'm going to keep moving. I think I'm just going to keep moving right to the end. But I want to be able to influence people for God, for them to actually be able to encounter him in the way that's their potential. And you know what? I believe God's honoring me with that. Yes. Amen? But can you see how that's an honor to receive from him? That we can long for. I want to get out of my own little cocoon and it just being me and things that I think are cool for me. And how can I, and how do we get to that place? I'm so glad Jesus did that for us, aren't you? But let's look at this first of all, because God doesn't just pour out honor everywhere. I mean, the rain falls on the just and the unjust, but there's an honor that comes from him that's going to require an investment of honor on our part first. Okay, let's look at this. Anyway, we've talked about this before, but I just want to hit it again. And this comes from Eli the priest, right? That he had two sons that were doing things that were completely wrong in the temple. He was stealing the best parts of offerings. They were stealing best parts of offerings, which were animal parts. And then they were having relationships with women that came into the temple. And Eli did not stop this. He knew it was going on, did not stop it. And sometimes it's not so much what you're doing that is honor as much as it is what you're not doing that is dishonor. Amen? So let's read this. And this is a very important statement here at the end of this. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, when the Lord God of Israel is saying something, it's kind of good to listen, right? I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. He said, I made a promise to you before, but because of your dishonor, you've disabled my promise. Isn't God faithful? Aren't you glad his promises are faithful to the end? And I really believe that if there could have been repentance, even in this case, it could have been restored. But we have a powerful effect upon the promises of God based upon how we honor or dishonor what we know to be right about him.
That's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
But now the Lord says, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. He didn't just say that you're failing to honor. He's saying by failing to do what is honorable, you're actually despising me. And God says, far be it from me to go piling honor on somebody that doesn't know how to give it at all, right? And he said, not only they shall be lightly esteemed. What is that? That means their value will not be very great in my eyes. And it requires value for honor to be imparted, even from God. So how do we get to that level of value in God? Did you know that there's levels of value before God for us? And it's important for us, if we're expecting God to reciprocate, it's like with giving. You can't expect God to bless you financially if you're not honoring him with your finances, with the first fruits of your increase, right? Yeah. And it's not just a thing of the law, it's the principle of God. Spoken of in Proverbs too, that it's just wisdom, right? But he says, I will lightly esteem you. I will not consider you. That's almost like one of the biggest ways to be dishonored is to be ignored. This happens a lot of times. You can misperceive somebody's intentions. This happens a lot of times with young people. I don't know why this is. I remember just been my observance. And I don't know if it's the older I've gotten that this has happened, but young people can just walk by and never even look at you. Just completely disregard you. And this is something I've really appreciated about the Mogbys is they've trained their children to acknowledge you. And what is that? It's training them to honor. Because one of the biggest things you can do to dishonor somebody is just disregard them, ignore them, act like they're not there. And it is so common with God. Man, we were in here praying this morning, just so impressed with how great our God is. He is huge. And he says, you know, if you can just acknowledge me in all your ways, I'll direct your path. That means he's there to be acknowledged all the time. That means you don't have to ignore him ever. But how often do we just flat out ignore him? God, I got this. I don't need you on this one. Right? All right. You can think about somebody else that needs this morning if you need to. But right? No, I think we should be challenged in this. He says, I want to be acknowledged. I want to be seen for who I am. Amen? All right. So there's this principle, he says, of for me to honor you, I'm going to need you to honor me. Okay. And so we're going to look at, and I think we can spend quite a bit of time finding out how to honor. And we need to develop that. Amen? Because there's a reward in the honor of God to us. Amen? So John 12, 26. So how to honor the Father? And we're going to look at this. There's a window into it. I don't think this is all of it, but there's a big part of it that we can see here in becoming a vessel of honor. And this is an entrance into this. Okay, let's look at this. It says, if anyone does what? Serves me. What does a servant do? They carry things. They provide for what you need, right? They do things so that you can do something else, right? If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. Now, there's wonderful things that are going on when you're following him. You're participating in what he's doing, and you're getting to be with him. What does a servant do? They are attentive to the interests, to the desires of the master, aren't they? Yeah. And it's hard to be a servant if you're not with the master. Yes. You have to be with the master, don't you? And here's what's really cool about this. He says, and if anyone serves me, him, my Father, will honor. So let's make a connection here. Serving, because what we saw in the first verse, that if you don't honor me, I can't honor you. Those that honor me, I will honor, right? And now he's saying, those that serve me, my Father will honor. So serving must be honoring. Can we make that connection?
Yeah, that's good.
Serving must be honoring. All right. What did Jesus come to do? Remember, he said, I don't want you to do anything for me. In fact, I'm going to wash your feet because I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. What did Jesus do more than anybody? He honored. He valued. Amen? Yeah. Now, he got after some of those religious people, kind of let them know what they were. But he was doing it for a purpose. Amen? So let's look here in 2 Timothy 2, 19 through 26. Man, there's a bunch of verses there. Let's read them all, okay? Serving is becoming a vessel of honor, pure and sanctified for his glory. So what is this service that we do unto God? Man, it will take a lot of different iterations. It's going to look like some different things in our life. Amen? I'm going to read through this, and it's going to give here the entrance of this idea of vessels of honor and how necessary this is. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. How does God know us? You know, there's wonderful songs that talk about he knows my name. He knows everything about me. He knows everything about me. But then there's terrible verses that say that you're going to say, Lord, Lord, and I'm going to say, I never knew you. That means God doesn't know some people, yeah. Right? Yeah. And what is that actually meaning when he says, I don't know you? And I would want to find out. Because right. He says after that, he says, depart from me. Depart from me. I never knew you, right? So departure from God is associated with him not knowing me. And I believe it's a similar thing that he's talking about here. He says, I know. He knows those who are his. How does he know? Because his are in his face. His are following him. His are serving him. And there's a knowing that the Father has of us that is different from anybody else that's not following him. Can you see that? He might know their name. He might know, you know, he loves everybody in the whole world. Aren't you glad? For God so loved the world. But he knows those who are his. Who are his? Those that choose to be his, to follow him. Amen? And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So what is he saying? So also with those, for them to follow me, they're going to have to give up serving something else, aren't they? They're going to have to give up serving iniquity. What is iniquity? Sin? Things of the flesh? Right? All right. But in a great house, so he's continuing from this. So he says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. So what does that mean? That we can't just expect God to use, Jesus, use me, and oh, Lord, don't refuse me. No, the Lord's going to refuse us. Right? Why? Because our vessel is tainted from following other masters. Is that right? Yeah. So, are we following the train here a little bit? So we want to honor God. We're going to have to serve him, but we can't just serve him anyhow. We have to be a vessel of honor to serve him, don't we? And he's going to be elevated in honor enough to me that I'm going to quit honoring some other things in my life. Is that right? All right, I'm not done. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself, so who's supposed to do this? Oh, I'm just waiting for Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the water of the fire. Burn me. Burn it up. Just burn it up. He said, no, at some point in our life, this is how salvation goes, doesn't it? At some point, we have to get to the point where we say, I'm going to turn my back on the world and choose him. But you know, that choice continues. Yes. I'm so glad that I'm secured in him, but you know what? To know the honor of God on me, I'm going to have to continue to give, to serve him with a choice that elevates the honor of him as my master above the honor of other things in my flesh. Can you see that? Okay. And so that's going to have to be something that I do myself. I can't save anybody else. Everybody has to go to the Father themselves, don't they?
Right?
And Jesus doesn't come and impose salvation upon us. He says, what do you want? Cleansing happens the same way. You're going to have to cleanse yourself from the latter. He will then be. So we don't just get to claim being a vessel of honor. How do we become a vessel of honor? We cleanse ourselves. Amen? Now I'm so glad that we have help in that. We go to him. He will help us. Amen? It's not something he says you have to do it all by yourself, but you will do it yourself. Right? Yes. He will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Oh man, we're going to see some stuff in this. Are you good this morning? This is exciting, amen? Because what are we carrying in these vessels? What are we carrying in these vessels? This is the thing. This is why they have to be pure. How many want to be drinking from a cup that Tebow's been drinking from?
Not me.
Tebow's my dog. He's not the football player. I don't think I'd want to drink after Tim Tebow either. I'm sorry, but he's really cute and everything, but just ain't going to do it. Why would the Holy Spirit want to be carried in a vessel that's been giving itself to the world? Is that right?
Good.
Flee also youthful lusts. Isn't that funny how youthful lusts can stay with you till you get old? So this is for everybody. It's not just youths, right? But pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So these are different people. These are the ones that he knows, right? The ones that have said, he is my master. Don't just name the name of the Lord, but he actually is their Lord. Amen?
Yes.
But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Okay, as we're doing these, let's consider. What is a servant of the Lord? It's somebody that, first of all, takes care of the vessel before they start to serve with that vessel. Amen? And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. Man, there's nothing wrong with any of this, is there? It's stuff that you begin to do these by the power of the Holy Spirit that he's given us. This is the nature we've been given in Christ. This is the stuff that looks like him. Amen? What's wrong with that? And you know what it does is it creates an atmosphere of honor that is so palatable, so desirous. Amen? So rewarding. And as a servant of the Lord, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. That means you don't just get in contentious and say, you're wrong. Right? If God perhaps will grant them repentance. So you're just saying things in love, aren't you? Not demeaning people, not bringing people down, right? Okay. So that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. What is happening if somebody is outside of? And this is something that bothers me about all this social media, church people attacking church people, doctrine bantering, all this kind of stuff, as if somebody really knows it all.
Yeah, come on.
You know what I mean? Now, somebody might be off in some area, but who's our enemy? You know, and who should we be going towards? our hearts should be for the lost, not how we can attack the saved, you know? Anyway, so what is the vessel of honor? It's going to be something that is worthy of carrying the honor of God. Amen? This is wonderful. You know, holiness is beautiful. It's not something that is prudish. It's actually beautiful. Why? Because it enables, and we're going to see here, it's going to enable the power of God. Amen? Romans 9:20. We were chosen for this service of honor as sons. Now this is, I just wanted to put this in here. Because he was actually, in this passage, he's actually talking to Jews. And in our reading this week, it was interesting because Paul was prophesied to, these people had dreams. You're going to be bound when you get to Jerusalem. You're going to be bound. Paul says, no, I have to do this because God's given me this mission. I have to go do this, right? And so Paul finally gets to Jerusalem, and sure enough, he gets put in prison. And he says, well, just let me talk to them. Just let me talk to the people. And he starts talking in Aramaic, and they're impressed by that. Oh, he talks our language. And they all got really quiet. And he started telling his testimony. And there's nothing more powerful than a testimony, is there? You can't refute a testimony. This happened to me. I got knocked over a horse by a light. Anybody else knocked off a horse by a light? No, I'm the only one that got. You know, it's like, man, this is an interesting story. It's an interesting story until God told him to go to the Gentiles. Oh, they're not the chosen folks. Right? And at that, he's deserving death. Why? Because he just said something about going to a different people. And you know what? I want us to get something from this because I think there's this need to say, this, I'm the one he chose for this. Amen? I'm chosen to be a vessel of honor. Amen? This is not somebody else's thing. I'm not the wrong gender. I'm not the wrong nationality. For them, it was a real issue, but there's a really precious part of this that is really cool that I want to bring out because there's groups of people that believe that we are predestined for things. And that if God wants me to be this vessel of honor, I'll be that vessel of honor. If not, I just get to have a lot of fun. you know what I mean? And no, this is on all of us. Because if we've been brought into the kingdom by mercy, we're going to see that. I want to describe it before I read it. Let me just read it, okay. But indeed, oh man, who are you to reply against God? Okay, remember, he's talking to Jews, right? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? Now, so what a lot of people want to say is that God just makes some people for honor and some for not. That's not really what he's saying. Let's keep going. What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy? Don't you like that? God was putting up with all these vessels. What are vessels? They're like, we're all containers. We get this earthly Bible body that's a container. It's a vessel. And all these vessels of wrath. Remember, he destroyed the earth, all except for Noah at one point, right? Because he doesn't like these vessels of wrath. Then he sent Jesus to save us from these vessels of wrath. But how did he do that? He gave us vessels of mercy. And he said, these vessels of mercy make it possible to go outside the Jewish restriction. Amen? Jesus came for the world. He came for everybody. But It's contingent upon this mercy. All right, let's get this. That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory. That means there's no getting out of this. If I receive the mercies of Jesus, now I've become a vessel for glory, to carry the glory of God. Amen. Even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. And this goes, he's not, for some reason people want to constrict here, and really he's liberating. He's saying this is for everybody. Can you see that? As he says also in Hosea, I will call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living God. Not only are they my people, they're my sons. Yes. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. Born again, new creations in Christ, united with Christ. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Isn't this wonderful? So how do we become these servants that are going to be vessels of honor? And if we can think about vessels serving, but also vessels carrying the anointing, carrying the glory. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. How are we able to do that? Not by any works of righteousness which we've done. This is so wonderful. Amen? Yeah. It's not how much more I know than somebody else. It's not how much better I am. It's not what I do good. It's his mercies. Yes. Because I'm a vessel of mercy, I'm a vessel of honor. Amen? Isn't that good? All right. So, this is what we've been given. We've been chosen for this. It says beforehand, right? To be this for the glory of God. And yet it's up to us to present ourselves for this. God doesn't come and make us. He needs us to say, here I am for this. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You know, that's a wonderful song. But if it doesn't have any traction after you get done singing it, it was just a nice song. Because it needs to be walked out in a life that actually is laying down. Can you see that? And so, dear brothers and sisters, Romans 12:1. So this having been chosen, having been purposed for this, to be a vessel of honor, it still requires our own presentation in honor, right? So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. That sounds like giving honor. Amen? What is the most precious thing we have on this earth is just these bodies that contain us while we're here. If we don't have them, we're not here, right? But it's within these bodies what is really valuable. But until we present our bodies are the deciders of what's going on inside. Our flesh wants to tell us what to do on the inside. So we have to present our flesh as a sacrifice. Amen? Because of all that he has done for you, let them be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind he will find what? Acceptable. So what is he finding then as we're presenting our bodies? He's discovering a vessel that he can use, that can be served with honor, and that can be facilitating his purpose. God's always doing something. Yeah. And you'd say, oh God, he can just do anything he wants. You know what? He's chosen to use vessels. All through history, he's always used vessels, hasn't he? Yeah. Right? He used Jonah, you know? He used Paul. Why didn't God just go reveal to everybody direct? Because he uses vessels that offer themselves. Amen?
That's good.
And he's already chosen us to be these, but we have to offer ourselves. And then we'll be acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Oh, so it's not just Chris Tomlin songs. It's actually offering our bodies as a living sacrifice. And what do we become? We become these vessels. Oh, man, we're not done. Are you done yet?
No.
Oh, that was so nice to hear. So nice to hear no like that. That was so good. Okay. Because there's some more to come, okay? There's more that's enabled when we do this, okay? Vessels of his excellent power. So what happens when we become these? What are we carrying? We talked about carrying the glory, but let's look at this. And I really believe that God's calling us to this. Man, I was thinking about this when we were, before I came up here to receive the offering. I'm thinking, I'm praying this over us. The reason why we come here together this morning is not to just hear me say something. Isn't that good? I mean, I believe you're hearing something from God. But what is the purpose of it? We've all been called to be ministers of reconciliation. What's that? Where we get somebody connected with God. Amen? And what's it going to take? What did it take for Jesus? He demonstrated power that was like amazing, right? He's like this the most full vessel of honor that there ever could be, right? The greatest example of a vessel of honor was Jesus, right? And what did he do? How was he able to have that be something that was more than just something he took on himself? It was for a purpose, wasn't it? It was to bring people to him, to the Father, right? And what did it require? It required power. Because you don't get a legitimate God that's real without power. And this is what the world needs today. They need some demonstration of power that is greater than AI, believe it or not. Amen? And he's called us to be servants of his power. Amen? Not just me, praise God. We're all given to different aspects of it, but none of us get out of it. It's the power of God that enabled the mercy of God for us to be saved in the first place. And as soon as we receive that mercy, we've actually received, what does it say? These signs shall follow who? All those that believe. Why? Because when you're really a follower of him, you become a vessel of honor that's carrying the power that brought you. Can you see this? So we're vessels of his excellent power. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure. Remember what we talked about last week was treasure? It was life. Amen? You know that there's a... Are y'all good?
Yeah.
All right. How many are familiar with the passage that says, and the anointing shall break the yoke of bondage?
Yes.
If you go and look at what that word anointing mean, it actually means fullness, fat. And what is that fat? It's the life of God. The life of God gets so big that it just breaks everything off. Amen? What were we saying was the most valuable thing in honor last week? Life. You begin to magnify the life of God. Amen?
Yes.
And this is what's come to live on the inside of us. It's not a small thing. It's powerful. It's explosive. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strong. What are they? That's the stuff that we carry as vessels of honor. We can't just claim to have those weapons if we're not being vessels. Amen? But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of what? The power. We got these up here, right? The excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Man, we should be removed from any reticence, any self-consciousness, any inability to go out and just to begin to speak. It's not us.
Yeah.
It's what we as vessels of honor are carrying. It's the power. And all we're doing is serving. All we're here, would you like some power? Would you like some power? There you go, some power. Why? We should be able to do that. It's not like you have to shout and declare and wait and hope. Right? No, we've been made vessels of honor. We have this treasure in us. And it's not a power that's ours. It's an excellent power that's come to reside inside of us because we've decided to follow him and be his servant. Amen? And you can't help but be a vessel of honor, serving his purpose. Amen? Is this good? God is wanting to do this in us. And what happens when that takes place? I referred to this at the beginning. How does God honor us? The biggest way we can be honored is for that thing that we're carrying as vessels of his honor to be effective, to make a difference in somebody's life. So when I'm praying for y'all, when I'm seeing ministers of the power of God wherever you go. Amen? Miracles happening that you don't have to wait to come to church for. Amen? Somebody goes to college, prays for his roommate, or I don't know if you have a roommate or not, but you know what I'm saying? Because we're not just living unto ourselves. We're actually carrying we're acknowledging him at every opportunity. We're not dishonoring him. We're not disregarding him. We're actually saying, oh, the God of all creation that is the healer, that's the deliverer, he's here right now. Would you like to encounter him? Because I happen to be a vessel of his honor. Amen? 1 Peter 5:6. Honoring God is serving his power and being honored. This is not just something that is optional for us. I believe that God looks at this as like, I've given them this. They better do something with it. Right? So humble yourselves. Who's supposed to humble us? And what is humility? It's not thinking bad about yourself. It's saying, there's a way I've been given to do something. I'm going to do it that way. Amen? Yeah. I'm not going to hold back from doing something. In fact, humility can have the most power associated with it. Yeah. Because you're actually submitting to the way that is right. Can you see that? Yeah. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God. That's not a wimpy thing. It's like, here's a 50 caliber gun. It's like Larry said, he wished he could go over there and help Israel a little bit because he could actually shoot stuff, you know? But, you know, you're going to have to give up your pea shooter for that, you know? You have to say, my pea shooter ain't enough. The 50 cal is what I need right now, right? And then say, okay, I'm going to submit myself to what this thing can do, and I'm going to learn how to do it. That's one thing we got to shoot. It's not something that you just sit down and do the first time very well. It's like I didn't anyway. Is, man, that thing, it goes when you shoot it, for one thing, scares the living daylights out of you. And then you got to move your head around to try to get the right angle into that scope and all that, and you have to hold it right. I'm kind of doing this poorly, but there's so much to it that you have to say, you don't just go up and say, get out of the way, I know how to do this. I think sometimes we just want to say, God told me this, yes, this, blah, blah, blah. He says, I have a way that this needs to be done. It needs to be done in humility. Needs to be done in honor to everybody that's surrounding you too. This isn't about you. It's a treasure in your vessel that you have to humble yourself to. Amen? Humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Man, I want to encourage us in this. This is something we don't have to wait for. This treasure is in us now. It's something for us to recognize and to begin to submit to. It will come with the removal of these things. If our heart convicts us about anything, it needs to be something where we're quick to repent. Yes. Not to hold on to things and say, but I just have to do that. No, you don't. We've been given deliverance in Him. Yes. Amen? Yes. We're not overcome by anything. And we overcome with good. This power that we have on the inside. Amen? Is this good? Let's just make a few statements together. Can we do this? If you want to bring those declarations up, I'll let you remain. You want to stand up or you want to sit down? Why don't you? What's that? Oh, we have a guest here that's encouraging us to stand up. Let's all stand up. We'll follow the lead. All right, let's do this. Let's make these bold statements. Amen. And then we're going to receive communion together. This is a precious moment to be able to do this, isn't it? All right. I am no longer separated from God, but have become His treasured child through my union with Christ. We'll say that again. I am no longer separated from God, but have become His treasured child through my union with Christ. Let's go to the next one. I am now a vessel of mercy, given access to His presence for service in His kingdom. Isn't that wonderful? I'll say it again. I am now a vessel of mercy, given access to His presence for service in His kingdom. Let's do the next one. As I present my body to Him as a holy and acceptable service, I am made to be a vessel of honor for His glory. Isn't that great? Say it again. As I present my body to Him as a holy and acceptable service, I am made to be a vessel of honor for His glory. Let's go to the next one. With the treasure of His life in me is His power to serve His will and purpose effectively. Let's say it again. With the treasure of His life in me is His power to serve His will and purpose effectively. Oh man, we can envision that a little bit, can't we? Amen. This last one. By humbling myself to God, to honor God's power in me, I am positioned for God's honor in all that I do. Amen. It creates an atmosphere. It creates a nature for us. Amen.